If you are like me, at one time you were a little kid. When I was a little kid, I would hear adults say, you know, the older I get, the faster time seems to go. And I would think, that doesn't make any sense. I would think, obviously, how quickly time goes depends on where you are and what you are doing. For instance, during the summer when you're not in school, time goes really, really quickly. However, when you're in school, especially between about 8:30 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon, time slows to a crawl. It's almost as bad as how time slows down waiting for the minister to end the sermon. But you know, now that I've gotten to this age, I think they may be right. Because in so many ways, it seems like I just got here in Sacramento to begin an internship. Weird. So, when I was first looking for an internship, I was thinking, okay, I can just find something near Dallas, maybe even within commuting distance, and no problem. Well, that didn't work out. And so I thought, all right, what that means is I need to find a place where I can get the very best learning experience. Maybe it won't seem like it's so long. Well, writer Doug Larson said, the problem with learning from experience is that you never graduate. It's true. Hopefully, I will never graduate. Hopefully, I'll continue to learn and learn as things go on. I arrived here knowing that there were some things that I needed to learn, but not even knowing all the things that I didn't know that I needed to learn. So, my first thank you is to say thank you for not only showing me things that I needed to learn, but helping me learn those as well. Now, we've got a lot of new people here, so let me back up a minute and explain to you what my role here has been. I have been the intern minister for about the past 9 months. And as I discovered last week in Auburn, some people tend to confuse intern minister with interim minister, a problem made all the worse by the first thing I learned when I got here. Apparently, I have an accent. So, intern, interim, whatever. So, an intern minister, what we do is the Unitarian Universalist Association asks for those preparing for ministry. One of the things we have to do is go to either a church like this, do parish ministry or chaplaincy, maybe at a retirement home or a hospital. And we learn under very experienced, wise ministers. She's doing my evaluation. You're doing my evaluation. And also with an engaged, very great congregation who wants us to succeed. Very, very helpful. Now, an interim minister is someone who comes to a congregation once the minister has left, usually to just move on to another church. And they help that church get ready to find exactly the right fit in a new minister, so for the next person coming on. Now, the thing about both of these things is that they're intended to be limited engagements, so to speak. There's a specific beginning and a specific ending. So that's what those two things have in common. An internship typically follows seminary, which is essentially like the boards in other professions, grad school for ministers. There's many, many classes, many reading of essays, interviews, and the reading of many, many, many books. I can assure you of that. After this, I will have an interview with the Ministerial Fellowshipping Committee, and they will give me the okay to go ahead and look for a UU church, an opening in a UU church. And that brings me to another point. I will be ordained by a UU church, typically one that the one that calls me. That is because we here are congregationally based. I will not get ordained by the denomination or by the bishop or by the pope or anyone like that. No, you as the congregation has the power to select your leadership. It's not done by another hierarchy. And that's the place where I plug next week's congregational meeting. Please show up to that, because if you are a member, you need to be here to vote. If you're not a member, you need to be here to see how things work in our church. So this leads me to another big thank you. Because things happen in the congregation, you as a congregation welcomed me as a minister. On Sunday mornings, in the welcome hall, in meetings, you even sometimes let me win at game night, which I have to appreciate. Thank you so much. You accepted me as a minister. And you know what? That's not a small gift at all, because it was kind of a weird time anyway with Dr. Roger about to go on sabbatical. You may have been apprehensive about what was going on, and yet you accepted me, this unknown entity up here on the chancel, this unknown entity with an accent standing here with Reverend Lucy. What a privilege to be able to learn from both of them. It was the best of both worlds with both Dr. Roger and Reverend Lucy here. I got to learn from both of them, but because he went on sabbatical, it gave me an opportunity to do even more than I might have in other congregations and other internships. So it was really the best of both worlds. And again, I can't thank you enough for that. Thank you for being supportive. And I just hope that you feel that I've been as supportive of you as I feel that you have been of me. Oh, thank you. That wasn't intended as an applause line. Thank you. Next, you let me in to see the workings of the congregation. Something occurred to me this morning. There are much larger churches where a lot of stuff is done by the staff, and they have a whole lot of programs, and it's a great place to be. Then there are teeny tiny churches where they have sometimes no staff whatsoever, but they don't have a lot of programs, but it's a great place to be. They have great things happening on Sunday mornings, but that's kind of about it. This is such a great place because you're just at that great size where you've got a lot of stuff going on. I've written about this in the Unigram several times. Sometimes you can't find an extra room here to have something else going on. There's so much going on, but it's all done by the involved, wonderful people here in the congregation. It's because of you that all this happens, and you let me in on seeing how all those things work, and I so appreciate that. One of the things that I appreciated seeing at the meetings was at the beginning, there would be check-ins, and it's not like people would immediately get down to business. I was really sincerely touched by how you were interested in what was going on in the lives of the other people on the committees, and you really listened and really wanted to know. And that really touched me. I hesitate to use the term family, but it's almost like a family, because I see the dynamics in these meetings and learn from that as well, how those things go on. But I was also in the corporate world where It was my experience when they wanted you to feel good about things and feel all warm and fuzzy, they would talk about the company being like a family. But as soon as they needed to trim some expenses, they would get out that chainsaw and start whacking away at the family tree. So I was always suspect of the use of that word for people who weren't actually related to one another. But in this case, I think it's actually true that this is more like a family, because we are here not because we have to be here to get a paycheck. We are here because it's important to us to be together, and we are here in covenant. We have agreed how we want to treat one another, and we didn't say that we are working on the same thing like at a corporation, and we didn't say we believe the same thing like at some other churches. We agreed on how we're going to treat one another, and I think that's a fabulous thing, even when we may not get along, because as you know, in families, sometimes we really have to work to love people even when there's conflict. It's true. And another little secret about me, I've always been very conflict averse. That's part of just the way I was brought up. Some of the things in my family, I wasn't able to do that. And this is a problem when sometimes in our social justice work, we have to stand up and be a voice to speak truth to power. But you've helped me with that. There are a lot of things that this congregation does as far as social justice, and especially this year, we've been concentrating on some of the racial inequalities. Our theme this year was economic inequality, but right as I got here, we did the Black Lives Banner. I have been involved in the Beloved Conversations, and I'm thinking of that because it just ended yesterday, and that is a workshop on racial inequality. Also, the racial inequality is also a forefront because we have seen, even within our own denomination, some of the problems of the structural inequality. So it's at the forefront of our awareness right now. And of course, the events in our world right now, with so many things going on, it's brought these social justice issues to our awareness. But I've been just amazed at all the things you have been involved in, all the ways that you have approached these social justice issues, and all the different volunteer opportunities that you have taken advantage of, all the ways that you've gone on to heal the world. Now, my title for this sermon was You Never Graduate. Despite that, I want to read a quote from a commencement address. You never graduate, but this is from a commencement address, because I didn't want this simply to be a big thank you to you and to telling you how much I appreciated you. I think I need a call to action as well as I'm talking about the social justice work that we do. This is from a commencement address that was given to Barnard College, and I noticed it was given exactly 5 years ago today. So don't accept somebody else's construction of the way things ought to be. It's up to you to right wrongs. It's up to you to point out injustice. It's up to you to hold the system accountable and sometimes upend it entirely. It's up to you to stand up and to be heard, to write and to lobby, to march, to organize, to vote. Don't be content to just sit back and watch. Those who oppose change, those who benefit from an unjust status quo, have always bet on the public's cynicism or the public's complacency. Throughout American history, though, they have lost that bet, and I believe they will this time as well. But ultimately, that will depend on you. Don't wait for the person next to you to be the first to speak up for what's right. Because maybe, just maybe, they're waiting for you. That was given 5 years ago to the graduating class of Barnard College by President Barack Obama. To quote another famous individual, UU icon Ralph Waldo Emerson, in his seminal and notorious Divinity School address, he said, "The true preacher can be known by this, that he deals out to people his life, life passed through the fire of thought." Well, I've always found it easier to share my thoughts than to be vulnerable with you. But I think that's an important part of what we do up here, is to share ourselves. Certainly, Reverend Lucy has encouraged me to do that. My internship committee has encouraged me to be very authentic standing up here with you. And that's something that I feel that I have felt the supportive love of you all, so that I have been able to do that more than I ever dreamt that I might be able to do that. So thank you for that. Where I grew up in northern Kentucky, it's as much, because it's as north in the south as you can get, it's as much Midwestern as it is southern. And so a lot of the culture is Midwestern, which I'm saying that to lead to this. Many of you may have heard about the Midwestern farmer who loved his wife so much he almost told her. It's true that that was kind of our culture. We just didn't talk about and share those things and open up and be vulnerable. So you have helped me with that, because full disclosure has never been my strong suit. But again, this spiritual deepening groups, and if you have not been a part of that, I encourage you to do that. It's a great way to find people within this community to bond with and to learn even better ways of listening and find out about new people within the community. Also, we did a navigating grief class that was very meaningful to me, where we were able to open up and find out how important it is, part of this community, certainly. We often talk about the social justice, but certainly part of this community, as well as growing spiritually, is the bonding that we do one with another. As I was just saying, I'm not so big on opening up and speaking from the heart. And part of that has been my reliance on writing very carefully what I was going to say each Sunday, or when I preached on Sunday morning. And then this has kind of been my, you know how you have one hand on the dock as you swim further out, and you kind of let yourself go a little bit further and a little bit further, but this is still here as well. And you know what happened is I could not for the life of me figure out how to end this sermon. It's true. And late last night I thought, oh, this is the powers that be way of saying, that's because you're just supposed to be up here and talk to these people. That scares me. But that's obviously what I'm supposed to do. I hope you all realize what a wonderful thing you have here and how much I appreciate your letting me be a part of it. This is a growing, vital, wonderful congregation. You've got lots of wonderful programs. You are fulfilling your mission to grow deeply spiritually, to help heal the world. You have got two amazing ministers here. And I hope you realize that and how important that is and how wonderful they really are. I hope that you take advantage of all the things that you've got going on here. And I also hope you tell other people about what a great thing is going on here, because it is a great thing. And hopefully more and more people will take advantage of it. So thank you all very, very much for this experience.